without wasting much of your time. I know some of you have got plans for the day. I want to go straight into the word this morning. But let's bow our hearts and pray to the Lord this morning. Jehovah, we pray even as we get into your word. We pray for revelation knowledge. We pray for understanding. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that the entrance of your word brings light. It brings understanding to those of a simple heart. I humble myself this morning. I pray that you'd use my vocal cords to minister to everybody that is under the sound of my voice. We give you praise and give you honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I don't know if you were with us in the past 2 weeks. We started on a series titled Maximizing Seasons of Your Life. We started on a title, Maximizing Seasons of Your Life. And this morning, I really have the privilege to take us into part three of that series that we started 3 weeks ago. Let me remind you that it is God's will and desire for you to live your life and to live a life that is full of His evidence, evidence of His presence. What am I talking about? The Lord wants you to showcase His glory, because the Bible talks about how He uses the church to show forth His manifest wisdom amongst the nations. And so your life must not be empty of God's hand. Otherwise, how else will non-believers know that there is God? You see, the non-believers around you are looking for an evidence. They are looking for something that they haven't found in their own lives in order for them to be convinced that what you have is better than what they have. So I really pray that your life is not empty of God's hand. So this is the whole point of this series. I'm not teaching you new things, but by the Spirit of God, I believe the Lord is releasing keys and nuggets that will transform your story for years to come. So that is where we are talking about. You need to know how to maximize every season that comes your way. Those of you who were with us last week, I said you need discernment of times and seasons for you to maximize the season that the Lord brings in your life. If you cannot identify the season, you will not maximize it. If you cannot identify a season, you will not know what strategy to even implement in the season. So you need discernment. And we're talking about the faculty of spiritual perception. And we said now you need to develop that spiritual perception. How do you do that? How do you go about developing your spiritual muscle so that you are a sensitive person, so that you're not passed by when the Lord is doing what He wants to do on earth? So last week we learned that for you to have your perceptions growing, you need to master the art of waiting on the Lord in prayer. I really believe that we learned a bit around the importance of prayer. I mentioned to you that without prayer, your spirit remains immature, and an immature spirit cannot respond to the impulses of the spirit. I want to repeat that. An immature spirit cannot respond to the impulses of the spirit. I will just get down into that this morning. Now, today I want to deposit one more key that will strengthen your spiritual perception. Now, when Joshua was about to cross the dangerous river Jordan, the man of God gave a very important instruction to the Israelites. And it is that instruction that I believe holds the next key to a maturing believer. It holds a key for you to develop your spiritual perception. Let's go into that scripture again. That has been in our anchor scripture from the beginning. Joshua chapter 3. Verse 1, Joshua 3 verse 1. The Bible says, early in the morning, Joshua and the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. And these were the orders. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Verse 4. Then you will know which way to go. since you've never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Do not get close to it. May the Lord bless the reading of His word. Hallelujah. Now here we've got Joshua and the Israelites. And they had not been in this area before. It was a strange location, as I mentioned before. They had never been to this point in their entire 40 years of existence in the desert. In other words, it was unfamiliar to them. It was an unfamiliar territory. Listen, what is unfamiliar to you is not unfamiliar to God. What is strange to you is not strange to God. That is why you need discernment. You need to understand what you are going through. And how do you do that? You go to the one who knows, to the one who understands times and seasons. Now, because they had not been there before, they needed the one who knew all things to lead them. And I'm sure you and I are asking ourselves, how is 2025 going to be like? You've never been there, but there is one who stays, who lives outside of time, and he understands and he knows what this season is going to bring. Now, in the midst of the Israelites, there was the Ark of the Covenant. And it was an interesting feature that was with them in their journey right through the desert. Now, the Ark was a box built of acacia wood, and it was heavy and sturdy, which was overlaid by gold both in the inside and on the outside. On top of it, it was decorated with cherubims, with two wings touching. Now, this ark was not just a decoration. This ark was not just a burden that they were walking around with. This ark represented the very presence of God amongst His people. It was the place where whenever they look at, they understood and they were reminded that the Lord is with them. So that is why the ark was so important to the livelihood of the children of Israel. And this ark was not carried by anyone. It was carried specifically on the shoulders of the priests. And so we see Joshua coming and he is giving an instruction for the ark to be carried ahead of the people and for the people to follow at a distance. Look at this. The Bible says, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go. Why? Since you have never been this way before. I don't know if you are seeing something here already. The priests did not know the way either. What was the difference? The priests were bearers of the one who knew the way. So somehow by divine guidance, the priests knew which way to go, which turn to take. Why? Because Jehovah was with them, leading them. That is why the Bible says, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. My brothers, I want you to understand that your level of discernment is determined by your relationship and response to the ark. Your level of discernment and your level of intensity in terms of knowing what to do, it is determined by your relationship and your response to the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit comes and represents the very presence of God. What does this teach us? If you are to develop your spiritual ability to perceive things, the second key is you need to develop a meaningful relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit. You need to develop a meaningful relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to take note, I'm very deliberate with the words I'm using here. I'm not just talking about a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about a meaningful relationship. A relationship that changes the way you do things. Because you know what? There are certain people who come into our lives, they don't change the way we think. They don't change our decisions. But there are certain people who, whenever you are with them, you tend to think twice before you do something. Why? It's because you have a meaningful relationship with that person. Now, it was the presence of the ark that provided direction. And in the same way, it will be the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life that will sharpen your perception. It is the presence of the Holy Spirit that will help you to understand times and seasons. Am I talking to somebody this morning? Now, discernment in the life of a believer can be achieved and sustained by partnering with the Holy Spirit. And I want to ask you a question. Yes, you've been in the Lord for 5 years. For 10 years or for 2 years or for 5 months, my question to you this morning is, do you have a meaningful relationship with the Holy Spirit? Do you have a relationship with Him that changes the way you make decisions? Now, I want you to know that as they were walking towards the promised land, the people were excited. Why? Because the promise that they'd been waiting for 40 years was now coming to pass. I can imagine, I can just sense the excitement and the dream that were coming up again. And they were seeing themselves building houses in Canaan. They were seeing themselves enjoying the milk and the honey and just having fun. And I'm sure the temptation was very close to them to forget about what the ark is doing and to run straight ahead because of the excitement. It was tempting for them to simply run into it. But I want you to know that without the ark, Joshua and the Israelites were going to get lost. It doesn't matter how familiar you've been with certain things. Do not neglect the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Do not neglect the leading of the person of the Holy Spirit. You see, you walk with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it will feel like you're slow because he takes a bit of time maybe to bring clarity to you. But I would rather be slow than sorry. I would rather be slow than sorry, because if I rush ahead of myself, I might lose the plot along the way. So what am I saying this morning? Your relationship with the Holy Spirit ought to be the advantage you have over non-believers. I don't know if you have thought about that. Your relationship with the Holy Spirit is your added advantage over non-believers. Because with the Holy Spirit with you, you've got the inside information. Have you ever thought of that? With the Holy Spirit with you, you are able to get somebody to bounce back some ideas. Whereas somebody who is not a Christian, who is not filled with the Holy Spirit, does not have that added advantage. And what am I saying? Stop living like a non-believer who does guesswork and trial and error until they get it right. I believe that every child of God who has developed their faculties of spiritual perceptions, they're able to walk with accuracy, with certainty, because the Holy Spirit is there to guide you and to lead you. You see, you will save yourself time and heartache by developing a meaningful relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit. And this is the point that Apostle Paul was making to the church at Corinth. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. The Bible says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." Verse 10, "But God has revealed them to us by His Spirit." Why? "For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." Let me just stop there for a moment. This scripture is so packed. It should change the way you walk with the Holy Spirit. Because the Apostle Paul starts off by saying, hey, people of Corinth, there are things that you haven't seen. Mm-hmm. Are there things in your life that you haven't seen and you wish you would have seen them? And he says, there are things that you haven't heard. There are things that you haven't understood. But hey, there is a way for you to see the hidden. There is a way for you to understand the mysteries around you. That way is called the way of the Holy Spirit. And he says, though you haven't seen, though you haven't heard, though you haven't understood, but there is one who is able to reveal to you these things, and he is called the Holy Spirit. Because verse 10 it says, but God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. I don't know about you, but I'm in a place in my life right now where I really desire the person of the Holy Spirit to change the way I make decisions, to change the way I feel about circumstances, about my workplace, about my relationships. Why? Because He knows it all. He is called the all-knowing one. Because remember, the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. He is called all-knowing. And here Paul says, but God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. I want you to know God wants to reveal mysteries to you as you step into this coming season. The Lord wants to just put you at an added advantage. Can you imagine applying for a job? And as you are preparing for the interview, the Holy Spirit comes and He nudges you to prepare a case study. You just have this feeling in your heart that says, you know what, maybe I need to prepare a case study in case they ask me of a scenario. You go to the interview room, and as you go through the process, boom, they give you a case study. Or they ask you, give us a case study. I want you to know there are things that God cannot wait to reveal to His church. There are things that God cannot wait to reveal to Go Christian Church. But the question is, have we developed our relationship with Him, with the Holy Spirit, to a meaningful stage? God wants to reveal to you mysteries. Some of you here have been crying out and asking, Lord, show me, guide me, teach me your ways. And the Holy Spirit has been there all along, but maybe you haven't developed the relationship to the degree that will enable you to be of advantage walking with Him. Hallelujah. So the work of the Holy Spirit is key to your perception. The work of the Holy Spirit is key to your perception. He dwells inside the Father. And one of His works, it is to search the heart of God. Hallelujah. It is to search the deep things of God. That is what the Bible says. He searches the deep things of God, saying they are treasures waiting to be revealed. Treasures that have a name, your name on it. And whenever the Holy Spirit goes to the Father, He searches for your name. He searches for Tabang. He searches for your name. And He says, here it is, I'm going to take it to Him. But when He comes, does He find a Go church that has an ear that is open to His leading? Oh, I wish you and I can rise up to the place where the Holy Spirit becomes so integral to what we do. So the Israelites were expected to respond to the move of the ark, because the instruction was, when you see the Levitical priests rising up and walking, you are to leave your position and follow it. Listen, man, you need to leave your current position of not knowing and engage the Holy Spirit. Leave your position and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. I don't know how ready you are for that, but as you get ready, you'll be surprised of what the Holy Spirit will do in your life. Leave your position and follow the Holy Spirit. That was instruction. And as they were following the Holy Spirit, they were told not to come too close to the Holy Spirit, to the Ark of the Covenant. So Joshua told them to leave a gap of about 2,000 cubits between them and the Ark, and not to get too far, too close to it. So the Israelites needed to know how to relate to the presence of God. And I want to ask you a question. Do you know how to relate with God's presence in your life? Do you know how to respond to Him? When the Holy Spirit quickens the church to do something and He is busy working in the church, do you respond appropriately or you ignore the promptings of the Holy Spirit? In the Bible, a lot of people got into trouble by not knowing how to respond or by mishandling the very presence of God. Back in the days with Aaron and his sons, one of his sons of Aaron, they were struck by God. They died in the temple because they were offering strange fires on the altar. You don't handle the presence of God like that. They were struck dead, and Aaron was told not to mourn over them. What was going on there? They were mishandling the very presence of God. May that not be your portion, to mishandle the very presence of God to a point where God no longer talks to you that much. Now, another one in 2 Samuel chapter 6 from verse 1 to 7, we are told of the story of David, where he took the Ark of the Covenant from where it was coming from, the land of the Philistines. And as he went to collect the Ark of the Covenant, David made one error. And that error was, he sent an ox-drawn cart to carry the Ark of the Covenant. People of God, I want you to know that was a grave error for David to do. But he thought he was making it quicker, faster. It was the easiest thing to do. But in the eyes of God, the Ark of the Covenant was never meant to be carried on a cart. The Ark of the Covenant was meant to be carried on the shoulders of the Levitical priests. Wow. So the ark was placed in a forbidden place. Can your house be a forbidden place? Can your life be a forbidden place because of what goes on inside there? Now here, as they placed the Ark of the Covenant on this ox-drawn cart, these beasts were riding along, and one of the guys by the name of Uzzah thought the ark was about to topple over. He rushed and he touched the ark. And by him touching the ark, God was upset because he had no right. He was not a Levitical priest. And the Bible says at that place he was struck dead. Oh, what a way of expressing himself. And David was upset. He couldn't handle it. He said, Lord, why would you be so harsh? Why would you be so harsh on us? And he did not allow the ark to come that way. It went into another man's house for quite some time. And the Bible says when that ark was in that man's house was richly blessed. There's something that happens when you relate appropriately with the Holy Spirit. It attracts a supernatural blessing over your life. Now, write this down if you're taking notes. Don't get too accustomed to the Holy Spirit to the extent that you treat him like an ordinary man. Do not get too accustomed to the Holy Spirit to the extent that you treat him like an ordinary man. Joshua said, "Let there be a distance between you and the ark." You see, you need to rediscover reverence for the presence of God. If you are to develop your faculties of perception in the spirit, you need to rediscover reverence for the house of God. I mean, you cannot talk anyhow concerning the things of God. You cannot criticize the things of God as if it is your own house. No, the question is, where is the reverence and the fear of God in our churches today? There is a behavior that grieves and pains the Holy Spirit. And this morning I want you to understand that if you are to grow your spirit man, if you are to sharpen your spiritual perception, you need to learn how to relate to the Holy Spirit. I have taught you in this church that the Holy Spirit is a person. As the scriptures tell us, the Holy Spirit can love. The Holy Spirit has got emotions. The Holy Spirit can be upset. The Holy Spirit can teach. The Holy Spirit does everything that a man does. And because of that, the Holy Spirit can be grieved. In your relationships, I'm sure you have noticed that when a person is unhappy, they usually withdraw and they keep quiet. The same is true with the Holy Spirit. The same is true with the Holy Spirit. When he is grieved, he withdraws and he keeps quiet. What are some of the behaviors? Because, hey, we want to develop our spiritual maturity. We want to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit until the relationship is meaningful. And there are things that you and I can do that will transform that relationship with the Holy Spirit to make it meaningful. And the Apostle Paul gives us an idea. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. The Bible says, "Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building, for building up the one in need and bringing grace to those who listen. In other words, let your words be seasoned by grace. Verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Verse 31, get rid of all bitterness. Get rid of rage and anger, outcry and slander, along with every form of malice. Wow, that is so packed. You need to go and study that for yourself to really get and to understand behaviors in your life that repel the Holy Spirit. So you need to develop a meaningful relationship by looking at the way that you talk. Your talk can either repel or attract the Holy Spirit. There are people who are used to saying things like, well, I'll say it as it is. That is how we do it in our family. Well, if that is how you do it in your family, you might not benefit from the Holy Spirit, because unwholesome talk can grieve the Holy Spirit. Are you one of those people that say, unless this person asks for forgiveness, I'm not going to forgive them? Well, because if I forgive them, it is as if I'm saying their behavior is acceptable. No, the Bible says here, remove all bitterness from you. Remove all rage and anger from you. Because those are the things that bring about repulsion from the Holy Spirit. If you want to know the mind of God, you must embrace the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible tells us that no one knows the mind of a person except the spirit of the person. To many well-meaning believers, the person of the Holy Spirit is actually an afterthought. The person of the Holy Spirit is an afterthought, if not a disturbance and distraction to their decision-making skills. You know how it is. We know how to make decisions. We know how to decide. And therefore, waiting upon the Holy Spirit is a distraction, and it's messing up with my vibe. In other words, a mature believer should never be in the dark regarding seasons and times of your life. Now, as you read the story of the Israelites, you will come across a point in time in their life as they get into the promised land where they completely missed the mark. As long as Joshua and the Israelites paid attention to the leading of God, they were okay. You know, a number of times they missed out on the leading of God. You know, the story of the city of Ai. You know, before the city of Ai, they encountered Jericho. And the Lord was very instrumental in telling them how they were going to attack Jericho. God gave them a strategy. Remember, I told you, for you to maximize your seasons, you need to know the strategy for the season. So when it came to Jericho, though it was a powerful city, though it was strong and mighty, the Lord said to them, you don't need an army, you don't need swords, you need a shout. Hallelujah. And the Lord told them that for 7 days, you're going to encircle the city once a day. One, two, three, until they get to seven. And then on the seventh day, they were going to do it 7 times. And on the 7th time, they're going to release a shout to the Lord. They're going to have trumpets going. And the Bible says when they did that, the mighty walls of Jericho crumbled. Man, I want you to know that the walls of Jericho were so thick that a number of chariots could ride on top of the walls. That is how thick and strong this fortress was. But look at the strategy that the Lord told them to do. I'm sure Joshua was now thinking, man, where am I going to get mighty men to fight the Jericho city? But God says you don't need mighty men. Hallelujah. That is what happens when you walk with the Lord. They overcame Jericho by a strategy provided by the Holy Spirit. When they were done with Jericho, there was a small town called Ai. And the Bible says they thought Ai would be an easy peasy city to take over. They did not talk to the Lord. They did not inquire of the Lord. And Joshua just sent a couple of thousand, probably 3,000 men. They were sent into the city of Ai. The Bible says they were defeated absolutely by the city of Ai. A small city defeated them. And Joshua cry to the Lord and say, Lord, why has this happened? And the Lord said to Joshua as he was kneeling down, Joshua, get up. There is sin in the city. There is sin amongst you. That's where we talk about the sin of Achan. I want you to know that when we don't know how to handle the Holy Spirit, there will be defeat after defeat in our lives, because the sin of Achan was a sin of disobedience. They were told not to take anything from the city of Jericho, and Achan decided to take something from there, and it was called the accursed thing. And the Lord told Joshua, remove the accursed thing amongst you, and I'll return between in your presence. I'm talking about knowing how to handle the Holy Spirit. Who am I talking to? Somebody this morning. When there is sin in the city, when there is sin in the church, that church will be weak, that church will be defeated. When there is sin in the house, that household will be weak and will be defeated. But when there is righteousness and the fear of God and the reverence of the Holy Spirit, there will be victory after victory. Hallelujah. Am I talking to somebody this morning? They went on. In Joshua chapter 9, there's now another story. I want to highlight the importance of seeking the Holy Spirit for guidance. There was a group of people, a tribe of the Gibeonites. These Gibeonites had heard of what Joshua and the Israelites had done to Jericho and to Ai. And the city had become afraid. The Gibeonites became afraid. And they were very close to where the Israelites were. And the Bible says they sort of tricking Joshua. The Bible says they came to Joshua with clothes that were torn, with wine bottles that were bursting, with bread that was moldy, to give a picture, an impression that they had been walking for a long time. They came to Joshua and they say, Joshua, we've heard of your fame. We've been sent from a far off land and we want to make a treat with you. Agree with us that you will spare with us. Let's enter into a covenant. And the Bible says, when you read Joshua chapter 9, that Joshua did not inquire of the Lord. He simply looked at their stuff. He looked at their clothes, at their sandals. He looked at the moldy bread. He looked at the wine containers that were bursting, and he says, for sure, these men must have come from a long distance. And without asking the Lord, he went into a treaty with them, and he made a vow that he will not kill them. Wow. A couple of days down the road, it was then discovered that these Gibeonites were just next door neighbors to where Joshua was. The Bible says the people were so upset and said, Joshua, look at what you've led us into. And then they said, look, we cannot go against our vows. We're going to keep the Gibeonites, but we're going to make them slaves. They're going to work in the temple of the Lord and they will serve the king. The repercussions of ignoring the Holy Spirit. People of God, speed without the leading of the Holy Spirit is the highway to destruction. Speed without the leading of the Holy Spirit, it is a highway to regression. You will go backwards. And here we have an issue that then worked the children of Israel to issues in the future. The Gibeonites gave them no rest. Why? Because they were entertained because of a moment of not leaning in into the Holy Spirit. Put this down. A mature believer knows how to learn and how to obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit. My friends, you've got to learn how to understand when the Holy Spirit is speaking. What does he say and how does he say it? You see, the assignment of the Holy Spirit is to restrain you according to your level of yieldedness. I want to repeat that. The assignment of the Holy Spirit is to restrain you in line with your level of yieldedness. The more you are yielded to the Holy Spirit, the easier it is for the Holy Spirit to restrain you from getting into danger. The easier it is for the Holy Spirit to change your direction. But hey, many people are not yielded. You see, because he's a gentleman, the moment you struggle with him, the moment you strive with the Holy Spirit pulls back and he allows you to have your way. But Joshua said, let there be a gap between you and the ark. And this is a life of yielding. to the Lord. Hallelujah. As I could conclude this morning, I just want to remind you about what the Lord Jesus said regarding the Holy Spirit. When you walk with the Holy Spirit comes and He will instruct you. When you walk with the Holy Spirit, He will guide you. He will teach you. Are there things in your life that you are struggling to understand and to grasp? Just engage the Holy Spirit. My last scripture reading is John 14, verse 15. The Bible says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, so that he may be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." You are not an orphan. Stop living like an orphan. Allow the Holy Spirit to come and father you. Allow the Holy Spirit to come and mother you. Allow the Holy Spirit to come and parent you and guide you in your day-to-day operations. Hallelujah. Really, I think when we walk with the Holy Spirit, the faculties of our spiritual perceptions will not be the same. And the measure of your discernment is determined by how meaningful your relationship is with the Holy Spirit. Yieldedness. How are you going to yield to the Holy Spirit? Next week, I'm going to continue and I'll give you the last key on how to develop your spiritual perception. I really believe the Lord has ministered to you. Let me pray for you as we finish this morning. Father, I just want to thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, for the spirit of revelation, even the things that you have enabled us to share. I pray that this would not be lost in any way. I pray that as your people go through this week, may they be prompted, may they learn to hear the Holy Spirit. I bless them with the presence of the Lord in the name of Jesus. May they never be alone, even as you promised that I'm not going to leave you alone, but I will be with you through the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray for a blessing over your people. We give you praise and give you honor. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Great. Thank you guys for joining us this morning. Again, I want to ask you to make a generous offering. If the Lord has blessed you with a bonus, how about stepping into sacrificial giving so that the church can start on a good footing as we get into 2025. The banking details will come up on the screen and you'll be able to make a deposit into our account, and the Lord will bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord preserve you until we meet again next week. Please share this link to your family, to your friends. You'll be surprised that it will bless many, many people. Again, thank you for joining us today. Let's meet again next week, same time and same place. God bless you.